This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome to this program author James McManus. His new book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Coy. How are you?
Very good, very good. I got to start with the obvious question. What is it about poker that has so captured the American imagination and our fascination? You know, you get the poker everywhere you turn. It seems poker has become huge.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that a free market democracy reflects poker values. Everybody has a chance. When the game begins, everyone's equal. And at the end of the game, if you get lucky and you play skillfully, if you take the initiative, you become more than equal. You become the winner. And the fact that our military values have prized poker logic and bluffing in particular from the Civil War up until the age of nuclear diplomacy is also another big part of it.
Yeah. We're talking with James McManus, a best-selling author. His books include Positively Fifth Street, his memoir about finishing fifth in the World Series of Poker Championship, and his new book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. Jim, where does poker come from?
It's an amalgam of two games. French poke, P-O-Q-U-E, was played with five cards each to each player with a 20 card deck, so only four players could play, and the highest hand you could have was four of a kind. That comes into New Orleans around 1805 or 1810. As it moves up the Mississippi River, it combines with English brag, which is played with a 52 card deck and has straights and fluxes, as they called them, so that by around 1830 or 1840, poker is played. Poker is a combination of poke and brag, and it has the hierarchy of hands that we're familiar with today.
So it was Americanized into this game, just like rugby.
Yes.
Rugby was Americanized into football.
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah, we're talking with author James McManus. His book is Cowboys Full. You got to get this one, folks. This is a fun book, fascinating. Make a great gift. It's the story of poker. So, Jim, by the time the Civil War rolls around, you can probably assume that the guys in the camps were familiar with this game and they were playing it on both sides of the war.
That's how it goes out into the country. It originally begins as pretty much a game dominated by card sharps on the Mississippi River. But as cards become more widespread and the game becomes popular, soldiers, military generals, enlisted men, pretty much all of them are playing by the time of the Civil War. And if they're not, when they get to camp, they learn how to play. And then the survivors of that war take it back to every state and territory and hamlet. And that's the 1860s is when it really becomes the national card game.
Jim, I know from my own research into the history of the University of Virginia that card playing, whether gambling or not, and this is back in the 1820s and 30s, among students at the University of Virginia, it was severely discouraged to the point of expulsion. If they caught you with a deck of cards, it was like catching you with a prostitute in your room. You were in trouble. And God
did that include Edgar Allan Poe? Was Poe one of the I know that he played in Virginia.
He did, and he played at the University of Virginia, and he racked up some serious gambling losses, which uh-huh. led to his stepfather pulling him out of uh-huh. of the university and taking him back to Richmond. So they were playing, but I guess I'm getting to this question of, what was it about card playing, you think, in the 19th century in America that was so frowned on? Was it seen as this sort of dirty, scoundrel type of activity?
Well, there's always been a conflict between the Puritan work ethic and the entrepreneurial spirit of America. And both of those things are important in our national story. And to this day, a big fraction of the population is uncomfortable with poker because it involves winning money by cunning and a kind of deceit. You know, if you bluff, you're misrepresenting the strength of your hand, and you are, in some sense, stealing money from your opponent. You don't win money in poker by hard work and saving. You win it by cunning, duplicity, and skill. And that continues to make a lot of people nervous, as it did back in the 1820s and 30s.
The new book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. We're honored to be talking with best-selling author James McManus. Now, Jim, you spend a lot of time in your book looking at the intersection of this game of poker, this Americanized version of these French and English card games, the intersection of that and politics. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a natural game for politicians for a number of reasons. The most common way that, for example, the people who became president or actually they actually became president before they played cards to meet their political cronies, to spend time and relax with friends, and a few of them, including Eisenhower and Harry Truman, played well in the White House. And then there are two presidents who also made significant money in their lives playing. That was Eisenhower and Nixon. Nixon famously won enough $8,000 in the 1940s while serving in the Navy in World War II, and that became the his bankroll to fund his first congressional campaign in 1946, which he won.
And of course, President Obama plays poker, doesn't he?
Obama. It falls into the larger category of presidents or future presidents who never played for high stakes as a way to relax with cronies, extend their political network, and just become one of the guys on a Tuesday or Thursday evening and break the ice with the people that you have to do legislative business with during the rest of the week. You know, he never played for the kind of money that would change his life, but it was his way of being a regular guy.
James McManus is the best-selling author of Positively Fifth Street, his memoir about finishing fifth in the World Series of Poker. His new book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. Jim, is poker like music in that pretty much anybody, if you spend enough time at it, can get good at it? Or is it more like a professional sport in that you can practice all you want, but you're only going to get so good because there's only a certain elite who have some natural innate ability to do this will ever rise to the top?
That's a very good question, and nobody really knows the answer to that. Certainly, you know, a professional hasn't won the World Series of Poker main event since 2002. Amateurs who play reasonably well and get phenomenally lucky can win the Poker World Championship. That said, there are characteristics that give huge advantages to certain groups. Math skill, the ability to pick up body language and facial expressions and not give away any of your own to guesstimate the strength of your opponent's hand is enormously helpful. And, of course, you need to love to gamble. You have to put money into a pot on a speculative basis in order to win the pot. And people who find gambling loathsome or even uncomfortable are never going to be excellent poker players. You need to have a little bit less respect for money than the average person probably does. And that gambling spirit combined with math skill and psychological acumen gives big advantages to people like Phil Ivey and Chris Ferguson and the other top pros.
People who are just consistently good.
They're consistently good, and they're fearless. All professional poker players, all serious poker players, understand the math of poker. It's basically fourth or fifth grade math. You know, you're drawing to a straight, you have eight outs out of the 45 cards that are unseen. You're drawing to a flush, you have nine outs. This is very simple fractional computations. So you don't need to be a math genius as Chris Ferguson is, but it helps to have speedy math acumen and psychological acuity.
Cowboys Full is the book by best-selling author James McManus. It's the story of poker, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you got a question or a comment for James, I know he'd love to hear for you, 977-1070. 1070. You were talking earlier about the tells. Your body language can give away something. Is that why when we watch poker on television, you see those guys wearing the big sunglasses or the hats? Or this is to disguise what might be a what they've recognized as one of their tells?
There's no question that the first place that your level of enthusiasm about your hand is revealed through your eyes. So simply putting on a pair of sunglasses makes that problem go away. A lot of people consider it a form of gentle or benign cheating. No one has suggested that sunglasses be banned at tournaments, or if they have, the proposal has never gone anywhere. But people will do just about anything to keep their faces and body expressions camouflaged. At the same time, as more and more poker is played online, the body tells and facial expressions become non-existent.
It's a moot point, isn't it? Yeah.
That element of the game disappears. So people who have trouble camouflaging their facial emotions or are not very good at picking them up in other people have naturally gravitated to the online world.
Talking with James McManus, the book is Cowboys Full. Can you tell us some of the more well-known tells of in the world of poker, whether by somebody who's currently playing today or somebody who's out of the game already?
The most common, I think, today have to do with patterns. If somebody is betting, if somebody is raising half or two-thirds of the pots based on their first two cards, you understand that they don't have a very strong hand every time they enter the pot. So that's the simplest level of tell. At a more sophisticated level, if you take a long time to bet, people might think that you're more likely to have a big hand, but they can use reverse psychology in order to back up one level of guessing. And by these means, professional pokers can figure out, they can narrow down the possible range of hands that you might be holding.
So to return to the history for a moment, in the 20th century, poker, we really see towards the end of the 20th century, as the media gets involved, you start seeing poker covered by sports reporters and becoming a sporting event. Before that happened, what led up to that? I mean, what happened such that the sporting world would even be there in the first place and take notice?
Well, in the late 70s, a fledgling television network called ESPN was looking around for things that they could cover that weren't already controlled by NBC and CBS and the other major networks. And Poker's World Series was one of the events that they were able to afford the rights to. And from that point on, poker has, especially the World Series, has been associated with ESPN. And, of course, now that ESPN is a giant, it's very easy to drive home the notion that poker is a sport. Most of the best players are men in their 20s or early 30s. The poker sites that promote them put them in basketball jerseys, hockey jerseys, baseball shirts, and of course everybody wears a baseball hat. So the marketing people do a lot to encourage the idea that poker is a game and in a sense a mind sport. And then of course you have a lot of retired athletes like Oral Hershiser playing high stakes poker on television now. So there's a lot of ways in which the game is a mind sport, and people associate it more and more with something that you would watch on ESPN.
We're talking with best-selling author James McManus. His new book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. Hank is on line two in Albemarle County. Hank, you're on with Jim McManus. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm just understandably curious in researching your book. What was the most fascinating, unique, or unusual prize or pot or whatever that was settled by a poker game?
Let's see. The guy who fixed the 1919 World Series, Rothstein, lost about $350,000 in a weekend stud event in the 1920s, and he was subsequently murdered. He got away with fixing the World Series, but when he tried to play dirty in a poker game, he got shot by a guy named Doyle Hump McManus. So no relation to my grandfather.
Worked in baseball, but won't work in poker.
No. Hey, they collect their debts in poker.
Yeah. Jim, I got to ask you, there's a couple of photographs in your book, and I'm just ignorant of somebody named Stu Unger who looks like a kid in one of these poker tournaments. What's his story?
He is widely considered to be the greatest player who ever played. He came on the scene in 1980, and at that point, most of the top players, nearly all of them, were old grizzled Texans who had spent 10, 15, 20 years learning the game on the road. And this was a young, very thin gin player from Brooklyn, New York, and he was able to pick up, he had phenomenal card sense, and he was able to pick up the game of No Limit Hold'em very quickly. And he came to dominate the high-stakes action, although he lost almost every penny he ever won betting on sports and snorting cocaine.
Oh, it's sad. So where is he?
It's a very sad story.
Is he still alive?
He died in 1997. There's a marvelous book about him by Nolan Dalla and Peter Olson called One of a Kind, if you're interested in Stewie Unger's life.
Wow, sounds like a movie in the making, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh. James McManus, best-selling author. The book is Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. And before we let you go, last question. Where is this all going, do you think? I mean, if you look into your crystal ball, poker in the 21st century.
Poker, the boom, the epicenter of the boom was 2003 when Chris Moneymaker won a $39 satellite. He was an accountant from Tennessee. He eventually won the main event of the World Series, and that was the first year that that the cameras revealed the hole cards. So the poker boom in the United States began then, and it leveled off around 2005. It hasn't dipped down, but it's leveled off. Meanwhile, in Europe, South America, and East Asia, the boom continues to mushroom, and more of the action has moved online. So in the future, it's become more and more of the world's game. And more and more poker takes place on virtual tables,
which, as you point out earlier, changes the nature of the game that we got used to.
The game has changed very, very dramatically in the last 10 years.
Amazing! It is a fascinating book. It's a lot of fun. Best-selling author James McManus. The book is Cowboys Full: The Story of Poker. Jim, it's great to meet you, and I've really enjoyed it.
Same here, Coy. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.